Hello, everybody.
Good morning.
That was a good morning. Not implying that you give bad good mornings, but that was a better than normal good morning. I'd like to welcome any visitors that we have, including Barry. And I don't see Melanie. Is she here?
Yeah, she's got the cold that's been going around.
Okay. All right. Well, remember Melanie and our prayers, and so that Barry doesn't get the cold that also is going around. And I'd like to welcome Brother Ken and those who meet with Brother Ken on the internet every week. Super Joe, I can't say his last name, HIPAA rules, but he was in the hospital this week, and I think he might be out. Right now he had pneumonia, but when I stopped up to the hospital to visit him, he just lit up with a big smile on his face. And a clergy member had come in about the time we were getting ready to pray, and he said, "I've come in here to pray with you." And Joe made a remark, "Oh, no, my preacher's already here." And they said, "Oh, okay, I'll get out." But then I'd like to welcome Jane and Tiffany. Dave and Jennifer are on their way to Chicago, and they're watching us as well. And I want to make mention of something that happened yesterday in light of something that will happen today. I don't know if you have noticed that there seems to be a lawless movement that is moving about our country by a very small percentage of people, but they've actually said things about kill cops today and chanting it, going up and down roads. Well, yesterday, one of those radicals did assassinate two New York City policemen in their car while they were having lunch. And the reason I bring this up is, you know, we have a police officer in our own congregation. And police all over the country are really getting a lot of flack from people unnecessarily. And it can be very, very demeaning to them. I know I've spoken with Dave about this. And Dave's doing a sermon tonight. And I think one of the best ways we can encourage this brother, the topic's going to be deceiving ourselves.
Yes.
The best way we can encourage him as brothers and sisters in Christ is to come and hear what he has to say this evening. So if you don't have anything planned, or if you do have something planned, why don't you come and be part of it? Because you not only show support for your brother in Christ, but you also show support for what's in the Bible.
Yes.
And with that in mind, I would like to continue our series that we have. Now, we've been reviewing the vision for the month of December for Camp Hill Church Family. And if we fail to keep what our vision is in mind, we're doomed not to succeed in it. My people will always perish without a vision. They got to know where they're going. If you just program into your GPS to randomly select some place when you're halfway there to go to, that's not very comforting. I know what it's like. You know, sometimes you get on your iPhone and all of a sudden it takes you some kind of whacked out route. And you think, "Oh no, what should I do? I'm pretty sure it's over there." And you don't even know if you can trust it. Well, we want to make very clear what God's positioning system says about Camp Hill Church of Christ. Which way we're going, what are the coordinates put in, and how we're going to reach those goals. What is our mission statement? Seeking the lost, equipping the saved, and bringing all into the image of God.
Yes, sir.
It's on our sign and back. It's proven scriptural. It's God ordained in the scriptures. And our first of the four steps to embrace our vision in this scriptural way go like this. Number one, discipline. Unless if a congregation has self-discipline, and then those who don't have self-discipline, they're taught discipline, it doesn't really make any difference at that point. All we are is a club that meets on Sunday outside of the cult. Maybe sing a few songs together. If we live undisciplined lives, doesn't matter what we preach, doesn't matter what we share, the Bible they're reading is how we live. And the second thing is, we focused on cell groups. Last week we covered cell groups, and this had to deal with fellowship in Christ. First one being living for Christ. Second one being fellowship in Christ. Those cell groups will begin up once again in January and go to the end of the school year. And you can get the notes from last week if you need more details on it. And then this morning we're going to cover Bible studies, which is education in Christ or toward Christ. And then this is going to be part A, part B. So we'll have two sermons back to back this Sunday and next Sunday. And then we're going to cover good works, which is service for Christ. Now, the focus of this lesson, Bible study, the aim is to generate a spirit of wanting to learn more about God's Word and applying it to our lives. Now, I can cover a number of different techniques, different types of teaching, but the one I want to focus on this morning is small group home Bible studies, which that will be what's emphasized. So let us begin. Now, the small home group program, or the small home group Bible study program, was the cornerstone of the Jewish education. You remember Moses recorded in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. You can read along with me if you want. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign in your hand, and they shall be as frontals of your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Now notice, the basis, the home base for this education, that is the home. The home is where this happens. This is where Jewish children would learn about God and how to live for Him. They didn't send them off to a boarding school. They didn't leave it up to everybody else. All education begins in the home. So if you have children, you are in education right now.
Amen.
Oh, wait, I'm not actually teaching them. Yeah, you're teaching them something negative then. Either which way, if you're a parent, you're a teacher.
Yes, sir.
That comes with the job description.
Amen.
And the same thing applies to New Testament Christians. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Every mother and father is charged with the godly, providing a godly environment for those children.
Amen.
And if we don't do that, what you sow is what you reap.
Yes, sir.
Now, Jehoshaphat, he took the small group home Bible study program to a national level. It says in 2 Chronicles 17, 7 through 9, then in the third year of his reign, he sent his officials, and with them the Levites, and with them the priests. They taught in Judah, having the book of the law with them, and they went throughout all the cities of Judah and taught among the people. Now notice, the plan wasn't this. We're going to set up a big university in Jerusalem, have everybody come in. Because that's very simply unrealistic. Ain't going to work. Jehoshaphat said, I want to start a program where our teachers are going out and teaching the people. Not here, out there where the people are. They were making a difference, and the result was the nation was drawing closer to God for decades. Now, those things do not happen by accident. They happen by planning. You know, Jesus led a 3.5-year small group home Bible study program for his disciples.
Yes, he did.
He already did it. He really did not have a regular location called home. It says in Luke 9:58, and Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus attempted to have a small home group Bible study at his apartment, but there were too many showing up. It was just too crowded. Mark 4:20, and he came home, and the crowd gathered again to such an extent they couldn't even eat a meal. You couldn't even eat a rice cake or something in there. It was so packed. Now it's no longer a small home group Bible study. So he had to hit the road. And from the road, he would go from home to home to home. Start adding them up. Matthew 26, 6. When Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper. Also, Mark 1, 29. They came out of the synagogue. They came to the house of Simon and Andrew. And in Mark 9, 28. When he came into the house. Luke 4, 38. He got up, left the synagogue, and entered Simon's home. Luke 10, 38 and 39. I love this one. Now they were traveling along. He entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. There's your small home group Bible study. You see, two sisters bring Jesus in for a small home group Bible study. Luke 14, 1. He went into the house of one of the leaders of the Pharisees. Luke 19, 5. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, hurry down, for today I must stay at your house. It was in the large upper room of someone else's large home where the famous words were uttered. In my Father's house are many mansions. But were not so, I would have told you. I go now to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you also may be. You see, he gave that talk about house talk while he was in somebody else's house for the Last Supper. Jesus did not do his best work at an office, in a church building, or at some establishment somewhere. I challenge you to tell me Jesus was an office worker. He wasn't. Unless if you count offices, every place but the office. We must view the homes of our members as branch offices for the kingdom of God.
Yes, sir.
That's really what they are. Now, Jesus encouraged his disciples to hold small group home Bible studies as well. You remember in Matthew 10, 12 through 14, Jesus said, as you enter the house, give it your greeting. If the house is worthy, give it your blessing of peace. But if the house is not worthy, take back your blessing of peace. Whoever does not receive you nor heed your words, as you go out of that house, shake the dust off your feet. He was not only telling them to have the small home group Bible studies, but if you're in there and they don't receive those words, fine. Get out, press on somewhere else. That's one less house you need to have a study in. Now, there's something about crossing the threshold of a doorway that makes a big difference. It's what turns outsiders into insiders. Jesus wanted them to take an active role in the conversion of others. The apostles continued in Jesus' small group home Bible study program. Look at the book of Acts. Acts 2, 46 and 27. Day by day, continuing in one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They were taking meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. 5 verse 42. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Acts 20, 21. How I did not shrink from declaring anything to you that was profitable, and teaching you publicly and from house to house, solemnly testifying both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Without any doubt, they took the format. Now they had different formats. You had temple, you had synagogues and mountains, but it was a small group, home Bible studies, which stand out most of all. Now I have to say to you, I can't emphasize this enough. If we're blessed to have a baptism this morning, if there was somebody who wanted to become a Christian, and they came forward, and they said, Doug, I want to become a Christian. I want to have my sins washed away in covenant with Jesus Christ. I'm telling you straight up, this sermon is not going to be the reason why they did it. This sermon is spoken to our members primarily.
Yes, sir.
But what about all those things that happened behind that conversion?
Yes, sir.
Who studied the Bible with them? Were they studying the Bible by themselves? What did they see? All I can do is encourage them to act on what they already know. And I'll be very frank with you. If somebody who I don't know what they studied were to come forward this morning and say, I want to be baptized. I want to have my sins washed away. I want to be in covenant with Jesus. That all sounds clear, but I want to know what they know.
Yes,
because
sir.
I don't want them to think I'm baptizing them into a church. I baptize them into Christ, and Christ adds them to the church.
Yes, sir.
I don't want them thinking that, oh, I didn't weigh up the cost. And then no sooner come out of the water and go back to the pig pen.
Yes, they do.
Can't do that. So it's in the teaching process, and it's in the house meetings that people are truly converted. You know, the church continued in the apostles' small home group Bible study program. I can prove it. 1 Corinthians 16:19. The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in the building over by the highway. No, that is in their house.
Amen.
Colossians 4:15. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and also Nympha and the church that is in her house. Romans 16:5. Also greet the church that is in their house. You see, the churches were in their house because before you ever have a building, you have to have somewhere to meet. And they were meeting in houses. Now later on when they grew, and people didn't have, you know, if all of you, if you don't believe me that this is how it works, that you can't fit a big congregation into somebody's house, who here wants to host a party for all of us, every one of us and those who didn't come, who has a house big enough to do that? I don't. You don't. That's why we have a church building. But see, people were meeting in houses before this building was even here.
Yes, sir.
And we must never forget, the church is not defined by the building, but not defined by the Christ. You know, Timothy likely grew up in a small group home Bible study environment. He's first mentioned in 1 Timothy 16:1. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. And a disciple was there named Timothy. He was the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was Greek. See, he was educated in the home concerning the Scriptures, 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, it says. You've known the sacred writings which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. That faith was nurtured in home by his mother and grandmother. 2 Timothy 1:5, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure is in you as well. They believed in the concept of the small group home Bible study program. Now, they learned to train up their child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Yeah, sure, things we do here might emphasize it, but everything always starts out small. Always. So where do we go from here? Well, all this is just information if there's no vehicle to make it happen. And I'm happy to announce the small group home Bible study program is being ramped up once again. One time a few years ago, we had anywhere from 15 to 20 small group studies a week going on. That was a lot. And we had nearly 70% participation in that. At that point, we had a growth spurt, not only spiritually, but numerically. We got to get back on track for that. Beginning January, we will have many more studies for the year up and running for our members. The studies will be held in homes of our members from many locations and on many different topics. And this will not be all. This is just what I know is occurring in the month of January. We must take every effort as a congregation with a vision to pursue attendance in at least one of these Bible studies this year.
Yes, sir.
Can we not commit to that? You know, and maybe your schedule is so hard that, oh, I can't drive all the way there. Then will you consider hosting one when you are home? I don't go to bed till midnight. If you want to study at 11 o'clock, you can do that. You want one during the day? Want one during your location? Let's go ahead and take a look at what we have so far. There are two different types of small group home Bible studies. Short term and long term. Here are some of which are on the docket. Short term studies. Beginning Tuesday, January 6th. And I have the dates up on the board here, I believe. There we go. Tuesdays at 6:30. Kathy Radzinko's in Enola. We're going to have a class on Christian apologetics. We have a new convert in that family. Now, how could you not want to shore up the faith of a young, passionate individual and at the same time encourage those around her? If you'd like to be part of that study, talk with Kathy Radzinko. Raise your hand, Kathy. There you go. That's her. See that face? Keep your arm up the rest of the time. No. Okay. Talk with her. That's at 6:30. We'll be done by 7:30. Okay? On Thursday, beginning January 8th, and you see the dates behind me, also at 6:30, we're covering at the Risser's home in Lebanon. Maybe you live farther toward Lebanon. Raise your hand, Brother Risser. Right there. Do you see that mug? Okay, if you want to be in the spiritual gift in this course, if you've never taken it, you're closer to Lebanon, go talk with him. He'll probably have a seat for you. But you got to talk with him. Fridays, beginning the 23rd, Mike and Don Chapman, who are at Golden Living, okay, beginning January 23rd, we have a study at 6:30 on parenting. We have a parenting course, an 8-week course on parenting. Dawn, I know you're watching. Raise your hand. Okay. If there's anybody at Golden Living who's thinking of having kids and would like to have a parenting class, that's the face you want. But you know who Dawn is? Please be part of that class. Also, Saturdays, beginning at the Bucks home on January 10th. Where are the Bucks? There's one right there. See Craig? Everybody know Craig. Raise your hand again. That's Craig. Okay? He has a study at his place on spiritual giftedness. It's going to be closer than Lebanon. So maybe you live here, and you say, I don't want to go all the way over to Lebanon on that day. Well, maybe on Saturday, you can come over and come to Mike's. Or maybe you might miss a class if you go to Risser's. You can still catch up on it. And if you've never taken the spiritual gift in this course, that's at 7, by the way. If you've never taken the spiritual gift in this course, I highly recommend you do. It'll blow your mind to find out about yourself. Now, we also have long-term studies that go on. On Tuesdays at 10:30 a.m., up at Newport Episcopal Commons. We've had a study going on there for more than a decade. There's a couple sisters in Christ up there. Presently, we're covering the book of James. I know it's kind of far to go, but if you'd like to ride with Roland and Mike and me, you're more than welcome to come up. Anybody see Roland's face? Roland, raise your hand. See that? Yeah. If you see that mug and you want to go to Newport and cover the book of James, 10:30... then you see him, and then he'll see me. On Wednesdays, at 10:30, at Rita Getz's home. Rita, you got an arm that still goes above your head? Okay. All right, good. It's a miracle! Okay. If you see that face, and you are a woman, and if you can go to her Bible study at 10:30... They're presently covering various topics. And I know how you ladies just like to randomly pick stuff and talk about it. Okay? You have a study that's been going on quite a while, hasn't it? Well, you can go to that study. Talk with Rita. Here's another one. On Thursdays at 7 p.m. at Lou and Rayma Baccio's. Now, they're traveling today, but you know, they've had a study there presently covering the book of John. That's more on the way to York, about halfway to York. Maybe you have a Thursday off, talk with Lou and Rayma. On Fridays, at Mike Reeves' home, we're presently covering the life of Christ. That's been going on for what, 10 years, Mike? Maybe 9? And Jen will feed you Korean food. She's a flaming servant. You go in there. I mean, I don't even eat till I go to their place. But we're presently covering the life of Christ, 7 p.m. And then Fridays, once a month, at Deitch's Gym, they have a study for the ladies. Lori, you still got an arm? It's your birthday, by the way, yesterday, right? Was it today?
No, it was yesterday.
Okay, all right. Yeah, everybody knows Lori. If you are a non-man, okay, and you have 10 a.m., right, on Fridays, go to that study. Is that okay with you? You got a big gym there? And bring your friends that are non-men. You see, these are just some of the studies that are on the docket coming up. I would like to see this double or triple in size by the end of this coming year. Double or triple in size. Because this is where souls are converted in homes. Not in church buildings, in homes. And so, I encourage you with this challenge. Now, we've already talked about discipline, cell groups, and now Bible studies. Everybody strive to be in as many of these studies as you can. And if there's one you want to have that you're available, talk to this mug. I will try to get a study set up in your home. You just have to let me know. But be involved with that. If you would like to respond to the invitation, maybe you've learned something about Christ, and you finally wanted to make your decision, I'm not going to take for granted you heard all that you need to know here, because I know you did. But maybe you're ready to be baptized in Christ. I encourage you to do so while we stand in silence.